Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. I'm Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Hope you've all had a filling and fulfilling Thanksgiving holiday. Three cheers to all the cooks who made the many feasts, and bravo to all of you who made your first turkey. You know who you are. Good job out there. Deer season start this week. Today, we'll talk to Kay Newman of SOAR, Saving Our Avian Resources, about hunting, lead shot, and our place in the food chain. And as we move into the season of gifting and getting, buying and binging, let's take time to consider an alternative way of giving for the holidays.
So we have with us today my neighbor. We both live in up the street here on Douglas Avenue. Mm-hmm. Ingrid Anderson, who is Swedish. So she will bring her – she always brings some of the charms of her country to our Christmas and holiday parties. So,
well,
in fact,
thank you,
Ingrid. I have to tell you, I have a surprise. I'm going to announce on air. I've made a Christmas present for Ingrid that she doesn't know about, and so I'm going to tell her early. Do you remember last summer, Ingrid, when I asked for tarragon and you handed me over the backyard fence a huge armful? I mean, I thought I was going to get a sprig or two, and it was just a huge amount of air.
I remember.
She grows tarragon quite well. I mm-hmm. can't get it to grow at all. Mm-hmm. But it was so much tarragon that I made tarragon vinegar. So one of your Christmas presents, Ingrid, is going to be a bottle of homemade tarragon vinegar.
Wonderful. I can't wait.
Well, we'll have it in our Christmas salads and things.
Yes.
So Ingrid is here to talk about something called Alternative Gifts International. The brochure says Act Locally, Impact Globally. And this is a program that's going on in Ames. You want to tell us about it, Ingrid? What is it?
Well, it's gifts that are very unique. You purchase a gift, and that can be, for example, a pregnant goat and give it to a Haitian family. And then from us, you get an insert that explains the gift.
A little certificate that goes in the Christmas card.
And also a gift card of your choice, and then you present that to your
I'm looking at some of the things that you can give. You can give Hugging Grannies for Orphans in China.
Yeah.
Another one is called Tummy Worms No More that gives medicine for children in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is Teaching Untouchables a Trade. Rescuing Girls from Sex Trafficking. I think I might have to give that one to my daughter for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful way to kind of well, like for my daughter, who's quite grown up anyway, it would be like a teaching moment or a reinforcement of the values of certain kinds of charity and people still in need. And it's also a wonderful thing, you know, when you're, you know, oh, and what does Aunt Tilly need, who needs nothing, right? What can I give her that would be meaningful to her?
Yes.
And so how does it work? Like if I wanted to give Aunt Tilly
mm-hmm.
the Hugging Grannies for Orphans, what would I do?
Well, you would come to maybe our community market at Wheatsfield. We will have...
Oh, that's this coming Saturday?
This coming Saturday.
At
December 6th at 10 in the morning.
Until
4.
So you'll be there all day kind of making up gift cards and taking the donations for this
yes.
Saturday
mm-hmm.
and also next Saturday as well?
Also next Saturday as well, but that's only going to be 2 hours from 10 to 12, mm-hmm. also in the Wheatsfield grocery store. Mm-hmm. And there we can explain how this works, and you get to look in the catalog and look at our gift cards.
It's probably good for like... you know, corporate gift giving and things like this. Here's another one. Mm-hmm. Send a bike, save a life. Where does Africa, Namibia, Tanzania, and Kenya recycle for mobility? That's Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh water wells.
And microloans, changing lives a gift of a microloan can help someone transform their skills into an income earning business. So,
and what country is that for?
That is a whole row of countries: Guatemala, Haiti, India, Moldova, Peru, South Africa, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, Uganda, Zambia.
Vegetable gardens.
And we have, of course, plant trees for a sustainable future.
I mean, there's all kinds of possible things that, you know, are something to suit everyone. Mm-hmm. Plus, Ingrid, tell them, well, first of all, this is a coalition of 8 local communities.
Community churches.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what are the churches you could sign this up at are also?
They are... I don't know when all of the churches have their markets, but usually it is Sundays, like a few Sundays before Christmas. Mm-hmm. But you could always contact the churches and ask.
And do you have a list
of
which churches?
Do you want me to list the churches?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Collegiate Presbyterian, United Church of Christ Congregational, Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, Northminster Presbyterian, Bethesda Lutheran, First United Methodist, St. Andrew's Lutheran, Collegiate United Methodist, and St. Cecilia Catholic.
So you could go to any of those churches and also mm-hmm. sign up for these gifts, too.
Yeah. I know the times for the UCC, United Church of Christ.
When is that?
That is December 7th and December 14th after the Sunday service.
So these gifts can be signed up for at either Wheatsfield next Saturday or the Saturday after, mm-hmm. or through any of these churches.
Yes.
And Ingrid is also going to give out her phone number, which mm-hmm. is...
And I wanted to tell you about the local projects, too.
Oh, yes. That's right. And these are... Mm-hmm. There are quite a number of local charities that you can contribute to now.
Who are they? They are Access... The Salt Care Center extending service and support. And the Bethesda Food Pantry and the Emergency Residence Project and the Good Neighbor and the Habitat for Humanity and Food at First,
Food at First, of course.
And Story County Dental Clinic and Life to Life. Which is Global Building Group.
Yeah, and
in
that's the
Ames High School.
Yeah, that's
project.
The Ames Uganda project. Mm-hmm.
It seems that we have a lot of opportunities. We think about getting gifts this time of year. Giving gifts is actually somehow that always ends up being what Christmas and what the holidays are about. So this giving, you have made it wonderfully convenient to give to all these organizations that certainly need our thoughts. And our cash. So, yes, whether we look into something around the world on a big level or on a local level, we've all got opportunities here. And considering all the opportunities here in Ames, there's a lot of things we can do.
Yes, you know, thank you to Ingrid and the other people that are helping to do this here in our community. It's an all-volunteer program, and it's really I love the sentiment behind it. It really helps us to think about ways to participate locally or globally, doing things for people that need it, and also makes your shopping list a whole lot easier.
Yes, it's the best present. It gives joy to the giver, and it gives I'm new at the radio, so I'm getting a little nervous.
Joy to the receiver as
and
well.
And the joy to the receiver and above all, to the charity that receives mm-hmm. this gift. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful gift, I think.
How long has this Alternative Gifts International been an organization? It sounds like a big project.
Yeah, 28 years now. It was founded by a woman called Harriet Pritchard. And she was working with education and also... she was a director for a Presbyterian church, and she wanted to teach the kids that how we can give and how good it feels. And so she devoted her life to this. And she passed away in October this year at she was 86 years old, and she was that an nice inspirational woman.
Life legacy for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's December. What's this? It's Saturday. And a week from Saturday as well at Wheatsfield. You
yes.
can sign up. And a number of other places.
And do please give your phone number. Mm-hmm. If people would like to contact Ingrid, your phone number is?
Yeah. It's 515-233-6427.
And that's to find out more or to give to the Alternative Gift Market International. It's a wonderful thing to do this time of year. And I just bet people won't return that gift. It will be the right size. It will be the right color.
Fit. It'll be just what they needed.
Yes.
No problem.
And I'm glad that you can grow bunches of tarragon, too. I think that's an amazing, wonderful skill.
Thank you. I had to add a little sand to the clay, and then that made it grow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, there's mm-hmm. the trick.
There you go. I want to remind folks that we are listening to KHOI, The Donalana Kitchen. Listening to KHOI, this is the Donalana Kitchen. Last summer, Donna and I had the pleasure of meeting Kay Newman and an eagle. There's nothing like
a real live eagle.
Like sitting in the room with
impressive.
A real eagle. It was great. And we talked to Kay Newman about what she was doing. She works with eagles and other raptors. We talked to her about what she has discovered about the dangers of lead shot in ammunition. Deer hunting season begins this week in Iowa. How we hunt can have consequences for us and also for all wildlife. We all are part of the food chain. Kay, welcome to the studio.
Thanks. Good to be here.
You are part of an organization called SOAR. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, SOAR stands for Saving Our Avian Resources. We are a nonprofit over in western Iowa, Carroll County. We do wildlife rehabilitation, education, and research. So we see about 200 wild birds each year that we try to fix whatever has gone wrong with them and release them back out into the wild.
This is just people bring the animals in
Yes, yes. People from the public see a wild animal that's hurt, and they will call sometimes their county conservation board, sometimes their state conservation officer. Sometimes they'll call us directly, and we have wonderful volunteers that will.
And you only do birds.
And we only do birds. Yep, yep. And so those guys will go and rescue and bring them in. So we're basically a bird hospital. That's the easiest way to explain.
Well, the way that Lana and I met you was that you brought an eagle, obviously a damaged eagle, but still quite alive, and it was magnificent. It was huge. Was it blind? Was that there?
And so you saw Thora, one of our education bald eagles. And so we're all permitted through the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources to do the rehabilitation and to hold our education birds. So the birds that we keep for programs are ones that we cannot release back into the wild. And so Thora has vision issues. She cannot see well enough for us to be able to release her. And she got that way because she ate some lead. And so she came to us with lead poisoning.
And we're not talking about paint peelings that she got into.
We are not talking about paint peelings. Eagles, yes, like to eat meat, and they don't cook it first. And so they're out fish.
Not that cooking would matter for the lead
no.
anyway.
No, no. But they are out. Fish is their normal diet. But in the wintertime, when things are frozen over, and it's right during all of our hunting seasons, there are things for them to scavenge. And so when they scavenge on something that has been wounded or shot with lead ammunition, there are little pieces of lead left in that carcass.
Or field dressed, right?
A field dressed deer would produce a gut pile, and we have x-rayed those, and those contain lead fragments also. And for an eagle, that's like a big chocolate cake. So the heart, the liver, the lungs,
yum,
those
yum,
are
yum.
All
okay.
good things for eagles to eat. And so with her lead poisoning, she was on chelation therapy for a month, which is injections twice a day.
That's supposed to pull the lead out?
Yes, it's a chemical that binds with the lead in their blood and then forms a compound that their kidneys recognize that they need to get rid of. And so it's a very gradual process.
But that won't bring her sight back.
That will not bring her sight back because of the brain swelling that happened when she was severely poisoned. And so that did damage to her optic nerve and her retina. And most birds that had levels as high as hers were, we are not able to save because it has destroyed their kidneys or their liver.
So there are eagles and other large birds that eat meat, that hawks and whatever, that are dying unnecessarily because they ingest lead.
Yes, and so doing wildlife rehabilitation, we get to save a few animals. We get to get a few animals back there that, you know, were impacted mainly by humans. That's what we see happening. Cars, windows, fences, soccer nets, lead poisoning. It's all wound up with us, and so it's nice to be able to put a few back out there. But what the rehabilitation really does for us is gives us a little sample of what is causing mortality for wild animals. And some of these things we can fix and prevent. And so that is kind of the bigger picture for doing the rehabilitation that we do, is we're able to spread it out and say, okay, well, we could prevent 200 bald eagle deaths in Iowa each year if all of our hunters were using non-lead ammunition when they were out there in the field.
Now, when does hunting season begin?
Well, in Iowa has a lot of things going on from early on. We have rabbit and squirrel, and I think that starts in first part of September. Pheasants hunting starts in October. Our main deer seasons start in December. So coming right up here, our shotgun deer seasons are probably when most of our deer hunters are out there hunting deer. And so that goes on. And
But the lead shot poisoning could come not just from deer hunting, right?
Exactly, exactly. So any animal carcass that has been shot with lead could contain lead fragments that eagles would eat. And so we've a little bit of a CSI situation. We were x-raying eagles to find out exactly that. Where is it coming from? In some of the eagles, we were finding shrapnel, so little shards, which would be from a rifle bullet or from a slug breaking up in an animal. Some of them, we were finding shot, whole pieces of shot. And shot.
Oh, you mean lead shrapnel, lead shot.
Lead shrapnel, lead shot. And so the shot would come from a pheasant or a rabbit. So if you're going to hunt waterfowl, if you're going to hunt ducks and geese, they are regulated by the Fish and Wildlife Service, and they require that you use non-toxic, non-lead shot if you're going to be hunting ducks and geese. And so,
So in Iowa, we already have regulations on some that it has to be non-lead.
Yes.
And there are alternatives for, I mean, anybody who wants to hunt can hunt without lead shot.
Exactly.
It is an easy option.
Yes. You just have to make that choice and adjustment. In your hunting and do it that way. And our family, so we have been monitoring eagles in Iowa since 2004. All of the rehabilitators across the state have been tracking this data. We're over 300 eagles now in our rehabilitation database. In 2004, when we knew what was going on, my whole family switched to using non-lead for all of their hunting. It was easy. No one even groaned at me. And usually, you know, if it's something I'm asking them to do something, I get a little bit of pushback. And this was like, no, they'd watched eagles die. And they were like, no, we're good. Copper muzzleloader bullets. Not my son pheasant hunts and dove hunts. And he uses all steel shot for that. And so they switched over. Everything that they hunt, they use non-lead ammunition for.
Because we have to remember that As you mentioned earlier when we were talking, eagles are top of the food chain, and we're part of that same food chain. We're up there. All the venison, and they can be part of our food chain, lead in eagles as opposed to lead in us. Is there a difference?
And so, yes. I mean, that was sort of the crazy eye-opening thing. Not only are we finding what is going on with wild animals, dawned on us and several other people that, well, if the eagles are getting lead from eating venison and game meat, that people would be too. And so,
right, this is not just an environmental issue, like, oh, we don't want to kill the eagles. They're our national symbol. They're really regal. It's toxic to humans. Anybody who eats hunted meat, and there are a lot of us, and a lot of us who think that that's a treat.
Yes.
We may be poisoning ourselves.
There's been a lot of work done on this. And so here in Iowa, the Department of Health x-rayed a few packages and tested a few packages of ground venison. And even with a really small sample size, they were finding above the allowable level of lead in those packages. We've tested some boar meat that was given, wild boar meat that was given to us.
Yum. What a shame.
Oh, yes. I bet it was delicious, but my kids don't get anything that I haven't x-rayed first if I'm not absolutely sure of how it was harvested. And so every single package of boar meat that we were given, you could see visible lead fragments on x-ray. We even sent a package of that to the Iowa State Diagnostic Lab to get the actual levels and make sure it was lead that we were looking at on the x-ray. And it came back at 11 parts per million lead.
And what is it, the maximum?
0.1 would be something that would be allowable or you know, considered sort of a background level. And so if you're going to export meat to Europe or to China, anything over 0.1 would not be allowed to go. That package of boar meat wouldn't have made past the muster for export. And so there aren't a lot of rules about, you know, and testing of game meat. It's kind of sort of up to you to be aware of this and to make sure that you aren't having things you don't want in your game meat.
You had the access to an x-ray machine for your work. Thank you for bringing this to our attention, but hardly anybody else has that sort of thing.
We have a wonderful veterinarian that we work. In fact, a couple of wonderful veterinarians that we work with. And if someone were very curious and wanted to know, you'd go in and ask your vet. You could, you know, they would bill you like you were getting an x-ray done on your cat, but you can line up several packages of meat and have them x-ray it for you.
And what do you see?
So on x-ray, metal is radio opaque. And so when it shows up on X-ray, it's like someone threw glitter into your package of meat. That would be the first thing to look for.
And it's not something that we'd normally taste as something gritty.
No, these particles that we're seeing are so small that you would just,
your teeth wouldn't crunch on
no.
them.
No. Yeah, and so they've done research in Europe, even on pheasants and doves that have been shot with lead shot. And the little tiny pieces of lead shot actually fragment a little bit. And so their research was they went to the market and they bought pheasants that had been shot on a game farm. They dressed them, and then they x-rayed the meat. And to make sure that they had removed all of the little pieces of shot. And so they went back in and they removed all the shot, x-rayed it again. They under x-ray, it looked like they had clean meat. They cooked it, and they sent the meat. They didn't eat the meals. And they sent the meals off to be analyzed, and they were still finding lead in that meat. And so that told them that it fragments in such tiny pieces that even on x-ray they weren't able to mm-hmm. to see it.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we have legislation preventing this? Like, we have no lead paint now for years, and even major complicated lead abatement and all of that sort of thing. How come we're allowing it right into our food system? I mean, it's one thing if you think children are going to eat dirt, but they all eat meat. So what is this?
That is a very good question. And I don't know the answer to that question. When we first started working on this and we're discovering all of the links and, you know, in the eagle's food, in our food, lead. And if you go anywhere and look up lead, it's going to tell you that it's a toxin. It's a poison. We've known that for thousands and thousands of years. Ask the Romans. Oh, they're gone. But, you know, they've actually done forensics on Romans and are finding lead concentrations, huge lead concentrations in their bones. And so they were using it actually as a sweetener because when you put lead in your mouth, it tastes sweet, not knowing that it was a toxin at that point in time. And so that explained to me why children want to eat lead paint. Because I couldn't see. I know toddlers put stuff in their mouths all the time. But you think you'd sort of eat one paint chip and you go, yeah, well, you know, I'm on to the next thing. But it tastes sweet. And so they'll actually, you know, search it out.
It does have a taste.
Yeah.
So fall of the Roman Empire and everything.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Because lead will impact your ability to think logically well. And so when we see these eagles coming in with lead poisoning, people will call and they'll go, oh, this eagle is on the ground and it looks drunk to me. And you're like, really? I don't think he's probably been drinking, but because their vision is impaired, their brain is swelling, they just can't function how they need to, sometimes even with very low levels of lead in their system. And so humans, it doesn't impact us as severely as eagles. Our digestive system is much less efficient than an eagle's. They can eat a pound of carp and digest the whole entire thing and really not have a lot of, you know, major waste products from that. So they're very efficient at digestion. Our digestive system, a lot, just goes right on through. And so we're not going to absorb it all. The big thing with lead is that it mimics calcium in your body. And so it fools your body into taking it in. And so in humans, if you are a child or a pregnant woman, and if you go to the Department of Health's webpage, those are the categories they highlight as far as lead intake, because you have a high calcium demand. You're growing. And so if lead enters our system, they absorb it in right away. And for children, human children, it can cause a lowered IQ, so it affects brain development. It can cause aggressive behavior, attention deficit sorts of things. And those are not immediate things that you go, oh, gee, boy, we shouldn't have been eating that venison. You know, you want to go, well, study harder, you know, get better grades. And you know, you don't make the linkage there. The other thing with the imitating calcium part of it is that you store it. And so if you're, you know, every year eating that deer, you're sort of chronically exposing yourself to that toxin, which is stored in your system.
Okay. You're listening to KHOI. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We're talking to Kay Newman.
Lead comes back out into your system, can cause high blood pressure, risk of heart attack, risk of stroke. Parkinson's disease has been linked to chronic lead
exposure. These are things that would probably be attributed to old age and not to lead contamination.
Yes. And so the connections are not made with humans and this chronic lead exposure because we don't get, you know, violently ill and die from eating a little bit here and a little bit there. And that's really subtle things, bad things that we don't want to happen to humans.
But it just is not making sense to me. If we know that it has these effects and we can eliminate it and by banning sales of ammunition with lead the way we have paint, why are we not doing it? It seems so simple, so straightforward.
Well, there's politics involved with this, too.
But who would be in favor of lead poisoning? I don't get it.
Well, and so we've been to several conferences on this, and it was really interesting to do a history sort of look back at this thing. And so, you know, we take for granted that lead is no longer in our gasoline. Lead is, and that's probably the biggest exposure that humans have had to lead is, you know, in the air and in the gas. It's no longer in our paint. They've taken it out of solder. Wheel weights on our cars will no longer be made out of lead. But the paint issue and the gasoline issue, it took some time. And those companies, those industries were not just willing to step up and say, oh, you know, no, blah, blah, blah. You know, there was a whole long lineage of having to prove over and over and over again that this was really happening before they stepped up. But the car companies were the ones that really surprised me because that happened so quickly. I think in 2010 or 11, the EPA went to the car companies and said, we're really afraid that these lead wheel weights are getting ground up on the road and then dust is traveling into people's yards and people are being exposed to this lead. And the car companies, instead of throwing a big fit and, you know, saying it was going to affect their bottom line, they just said, oh, okay, well, we'll just make those out of something else other than lead. And it was an absolute non-issue. And
could that
everyone
be,
moved
because
forward.
The research is so thorough at this point about the dangers of lead?
And I would say so. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think in having worked on this now for 10 years, which I can't believe I'm even really saying that, it takes time for people to wrap their brains around things and kind of go, oh, well, I guess it won't be a big deal for me to use copper slugs this year instead of what I've always used in the past. And so we have been traveling to different events and talking to people now for a long time, and it just seems like we are getting more and more people that are saying, oh, yeah, we're already doing that. We're good to go. Or, oh, I didn't know, and I'm going to look into that. Or, we see families. We talk to a lot of families. And it tends to be maybe the mom who is doing a lot of the cooking. You could kind of see her brain working around all of this. And she says, okay, well, no, you will be switching to copper slugs this year when you go deer hunting. And so to have family members influence their hunters, that I think is the key to this. And this is a great avenue. People that are interested in having healthy, good food to feed their family. Game meat is a wonderful source of good, healthy food, but it should not have any lead in it. And the only way you can be sure of that is to be using non-lead ammunition when you're hunting.
And to address the ammunition makers, the people that make the ammunition. There already are alternatives.
There are. And so because we talked about the waterfowl already, the non-toxic shot, the research and development has been done for that. That was implemented.
You explained to me that the reason that the waterfowl have no lead in the ammunition is because it's a federal law, and it's a federal law because it's interstate commerce as far as ducks are concerned.
Exactly.
They fly over state lines. Well, good for the ducks.
So do doves. And so I'm waiting for the Fish and Wildlife Service to step up on the dove issue because the non-toxic shot really the ammunition manufacturers have stepped into that, and it works great. It does what it needs to do, and people just need to learn how to shoot it. Mm-hmm. My son shoots trap, and so when we were working on the dove issue and trying to get people to go along with the non-toxic shot requirement, we were getting, well, it's not, you know, I can't, it doesn't shoot right. And so I handed him a box of steel shot and, you know, said, go out and shoot these, see what you think. He shot 25 clay targets in a row with steel shot. And so, and he hadn't really even practiced with it. And so my mind said, you know what, I think you can shoot doves with this stuff. And yeah, so, yeah. The shot is really there as far as the ballistics and people being happy with it. The deer hunting issue has been wonderful because the copper slugs actually perform better than the lead slugs.
And so, to be clear, here in Iowa, we don't hunt deer with rifles. We hunt them with shotguns with slugs.
Right, and not this year. In the past years, there has been a special rifle season down in the southern our southern counties, but this year that's not going to be there. And so, yeah, it will be slugs shot out of a shotgun or muzzleloaders. And so they make solid copper muzzleloader bullets. To advertise a little bit, my husband muzzleloader hunts, and he just goes to Barnes Bullets and orders his muzzleloader bullets, and it's so easy. But the three big manufacturers, so Remington, Federal and Winchester all make non-lead versions of slugs in 20-gauge and 12-gauge for people who want to hunt deer with slugs.
Sounds like a good thing to encourage people to do. And more we talk about this, the more people will maybe even change their minds.
You had also mentioned in fishing the use of lead sinkers. Is that still going on?
It is. It is. There are regulations on that in a few places where there are loons. And so the New England states, some of them have, because loons dive down and actually pick up little pieces of, they're after little rocks on the bottom to use as grit. Well, sinkers are the same size as what they're looking for, and so they will pick those up. We have run into lead poisoning with fishing sinkers with swans. Trumpeter swans seem to be the ones that, because they have the long neck, and they are dabbling down in the bottom of ponds, and they will selectively pick up those little egg-shaped lead sinkers, thinking that they're a seed or a piece of grit, and that will poison
them. But we obviously have non-lead sinker options.
Yes, yes. And so, yeah, another little advertisement. Walmart has them, and they have a nice little label on them, a little green label that says, you know, lead-free, eco-friendly, you know, and so the manufacturers are starting. I would like to see it go much faster, but slowly they're picking up on this.
It's all completely voluntary and non-legislated at this point.
Except for waterfowl and except for certain hunting areas. So there are certain county and state areas that are near water that require non-toxic shot. So you really have to be aware of where you are. Our federal lands, and so our national wildlife refuges, are all non-toxic shot only. And so you have to really be aware of where you're at as far as what the rules are.
Now, also that means even if one is not a hunter but has hunterly friends who are gifting you with game, ask questions. And even though you kind of don't want to look the gift horse in the mouth, so to speak, if it's not been hunted, if it's been hunted with lead, you really need to kindly and gently refuse to eat it.
Yeah, I would do that, yes.
Wow. Talk about food banks where a lot of venison is donated. What happens? Any regulations, any concerns?
As far as I know, no. We've SOAR has x-rayed packages of ground venison that was destined for food pantries and finding lead in over half of the packages that we looked at on x-ray. And I think we sent one of those in and it came back at maybe 4.6 parts per million. The Department of Health did a very small sample size, and we're finding 0.5, 0.7 parts per million lead in some of the packages, so definitely over that 0.1 allowable level. And requests have been made to the DNR, to the commissioners, to limit the HUSH program to bow shot.
What's HUSH program?
HUSH is Hunters Stopping Hunger, somehow or another. That's the acronym for
sounds good, but
being able to donate deer. Yeah, and there really shouldn't be a reason why. I mean, that wonderful program, of course, you know, to be able to get food to people that need it, but it should be healthy food. And it shouldn't have any lead in it. And so, but they have not been interested in doing things like that. And so, yeah, that one.
That's shocking. That should be illegal. I mean.
Well, we make bullets, we make ammunition for a lot of different things. How does this affect the ammunition that the armed forces uses?
And so, interestingly enough, that is, the military is one of the main groups that are switching over to non-lead ammunition. They do.
Hallelujah!
In a way.
Okay.
In a way.
Okay. Well, way. Uncle Sam, here we go. One point for you.
They do so much firing. They do so much practicing with the weapons that they have. That they've been contaminating their shooting ranges. And
oh yes,
like
because of course, so. Because wildlife would graze or pick up shot or on the firing range.
Yeah, yeah. And so there was actually a study that it was the fall zone for a shooting range, and it was a hay field. And then when they harvested the hay, it was picking up some of the shot, and the plants will actually absorb a little bit of that lead. It was coming out in the milk that the cows had eaten the hay. And so lead, because it mimics calcium, is found in breast milk. It can cross the placenta. That was just because they were testing the milk and they were going, oh, there's lead. There's where in the world? And they followed the trail back, and it was from the fall zone of where that hay field was, had been used for a shooting range. And so, so the military is moving forward and trying to use as much non-lead as they can.
So they're finding that it's cheaper to use the steel shot than it is to decontaminate.
And I don't know, they may have some different secret alloys that they're using that don't contain lead. I don't know if they're using all steel, you know, and they do a lot of rifle bullets and all sorts of different types of ammunition, but they there's been several news releases now on them switching to green ammunition. They're calling it because
that's a real interesting term. I like that.
Contain lead. Well, and it's not going to be toxic beyond its original purpose. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So well, as we move into the fall, into the hunting season, we realize that every little thing that we do somehow comes back to us. And I find it amazing that you found the red flag was our eagles.
Well, and they are indicator species. They are top of the food chain indicator species. And
I'm trying to think of the eagle as the canary in the coal mine.
A big canary. Many of us are old enough to remember DDT, insecticide, that in Rachel Carson's wonderful book, We Need Her Back, that they were warning us at that point in time that there was a toxin out there and it was impacting them and impacting their productivity. Interestingly enough, DDT works by inhibiting your calcium metabolism. It mimics calcium also. Uh-huh. And so that was how it made it into the eggshells. You know, the eggshell thinning was caused by that insecticide, and so it interfered with the calcium metabolism in the bird, and that's what was kind of the final straw that put eagles on our endangered species list for 30 years. So they just came off, in the big scheme of things, they just came off the endangered species list about 7 years ago. And so for us to think that it's okay to poison them with the same type of poison that put them on the list is not something that I'm going to sit still for. So, but fortunately, this one is a win-win-win. People hunt whatever they like to hunt. Our family has been using non-lead ammunition for the last 10 years, and we shoot doves and ducks and pheasants and deer and turkeys all with non-lead ammunition for the last 10 years. Has not been hard has not been costly, has not been a big deal to do that. So people still can hunt. Eagles can have good gut piles to eat.
And children can eat wild boar sausage
without,
if it's not been shot with lead,
without worrying, and, mm-hmm. and have healthy game meat for their family. And so there's really not a downside to this one at all. The ammunition manufacturers are still going to sell ammo. They're still going to make money. They've really stepped up and have done the research and development and have produced quality mm-hmm. ammunition that's not made out of lead.
We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You've heard a little bit of music by the band Notorious. That was the Rodeo Clown Rag. We heard about hunting. We heard about lead shot. And also talking about the holidays. Donna has a apple pie holiday update.
Well, I made a little variation on the traditional cinnamon and spice pie. In France, the tarte tatin, which is the apple pie that they make, they often serve it with thyme, fresh thyme in it. So what I did was I took the regular, I kind of did a French-American version. So I put thyme, and then instead of cinnamon, I used canela, which is soft stick cinnamon, which doesn't have, it has a sort of a more florally broader flavor, and you don't go, oh, this is cinnamon, but it does have that nice little warm thing. So I ground the canela, the soft stick cinnamon, and chopped up the thyme, and I put that in the apple pie, and I used, it's the local Iowa harvested. They do corn and they do sliced apples, and they're frozen. So it was really easy because I didn't have to peel the apples. Gee, I can't remember the name of it. You can buy them at Wheatsfield and sometimes at Hy-Vee. So I did a cheat and used frozen apples, but they were really good. And Ingrid, I'm going to try to make one for Christmas.
Oh, well, thank you for our Christmas celebration.
Yes.
Christmas.
It'll be good. It'll be good.
Yeah, apple pie at Christmas, apple pie at Thanksgiving.
And an apple pie is just a real good thing to do. All right. Okay. We have news from the Donna Lana Kitchen Sports Department here. You've probably heard this sort of thing going on around the Internet. Good heavens, this news has even traveled to outlets like the CBS Nightly News and all this kind of things. People are in a absolute tizzy. Because a really well-paid NFL football player named Jason Brown quit his lucrative career as center for the St. Louis Rams to become a full-time farmer.
Woohoo!
Get that. Whoa. Get that. At one point, Jason Brown had a 5-year, $37 million contract with the St. Louis Rams. Oh, bless his heart. And he decided it was just plain not working for him and just walked away from football. And get this, folks, he never farmed before. He just thought it'd be a good thing to do. He learned like a lot of us learned from other farmers and from the Internet. So,
well, you can't eat money.
Very good. Very good. Anyway, Jason Brown's agent told him, "You're making the biggest mistake of your life." And Jason Brown looked him right in the eye and he said, "No, I'm not." And what he did, he quit. He now farms he used his money to buy a bunch of land in North Carolina and started a thing called First Fruits Farm. And his first harvest, which is 5 acres full of sweet potatoes, that's 100,000 pounds, folks. You can grow a lot of sweet potatoes in North Carolina. And he's donating all of his sweet potatoes to food pantries. And he decided to do it that way. And somehow he seems a lot happier, he seems. Mm. I heard a reporter asking him in sort of a taken aback frame of mind that, oh, my goodness, how could you do that sort of thing? And Jason Brown said it's the right thing to do. And here's a quote. He says, "Love is the most wonderful currency that you can give anyone." And so that's what he's going to be doing, farming. And we wish him the best. He'll learn a lot. He's planted 5 acres to start with, but he has plans to do more and plans to give more of it away.
Well, that's a lovely story. And, you know, the stuff that's been on the news lately about the football players and all of the violence that's been going on, and they've been examining the effects of all of these concussions that they're getting and the kinds of brain damage it's causing and what that's leading to. So it sounds like this young man took all that in a completely different direction. Thank goodness. What a role model for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, very inspiring.
He's learning how to give.
Mm. And how to farm.
Oh.
Well, we learned how to give through the alternative gift market. Thank you for being with us today.
Ingrid, say your phone number one more time in case people want to give alternative gifts.
Mm-hmm. It's 515-233-6427.
And that will also be at Weedsfield this Saturday most of the day, and then for a few hours a week from Saturday as well, mm-hmm. and at many local churches.
Many local churches the following Sundays.
Yes. Yes, so give something really good this year. Give an alternative gift. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You heard music from the band Notorious, and we'll go out with a tune of theirs called Snow on Deer Mountain. Today we visited with Ingrid Anderson about the alternative Ames Alternative Gift Market, and we talked to Kay Newman from SOAR. That's the Save Our Avian Resources.
And I also want to mention that probably next week, Lana and I will do a show on homemade Christmas gifts, another lovely way to gift people.
Mm-hmm. Why not? Mm-hmm. My name is Lana Noctegal.
And I'm Donna Priskintas.
We've had excellent engineering by Rick Morrison. You can hear the Donna Lana Kitchen on KHOI Tuesdays at noon, repeated 7 o'clock in the evening. Go to khoifm.org to find past shows, recipes, and a great picture of Donna and I on the Donna Lana Kitchen page. Go to khoifm.org, go to talk, go to the Donna Lana Kitchen. Support this radio station. Eat good food and enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.